It is a very sensitive area, and I was also very careful to say that many caregivers are sensitive and responsive, but I was basically looking at society and seeing how do we prioritise our children. And if we're paying people, you know, the same rate or a euro more than they would get in McDonald's, and we expect them to love our children the way we would love them ourselves, to me it doesn't make sense.
Is the fundamental problem, though, that traditionally childcare has never been paid for? It's always been an unpaid job done by the mother at home. So essentially, it's never been given any market value, if you like.
The problem with our society is that everything has a market value now. And if something doesn't have a market value, then it's lost. And in a way, it makes my heart break to think that we've got to put a market value on love. But that's the way our society works, unfortunately. And caring work is not regarded well, and it's not regarded highly. I had a brother who looked after my dad, who died at 93, and looked after him 24 hours a day. But that was invisible caring. And a lot of our caring is actually invisible and not valued.
A lot of people made the point that under three childcare, which everybody says, every psychologist says, is the most critical, is the most crucial, is the sort of, you know, formation point, that is the least well paid for. It's the least well regulated, even in comparison to when children get to school, where teachers at least have a good career and a good structure, and there's lots of investigation and so on.
People would absolutely faint if you suggested paying a childcare worker the same as a teacher. But actually, the 0 to 3 is absolutely so vital, as everybody from Penelope Leach to, you know, to the Raising Boys guy, is it Bidulph is his name. All of those people have all said exactly the same. And the problem is that we don't see how vital that is, and we don't care as much as we could. And they also can't talk back to us. They can't tell us.
And some of the people who are commenting on your article, some people mentioned that maybe a solution would be to pay the mothers to stay home themselves. And because even if you look at Article 41, it says it should guarantee the mother. Now, people have issues with that too, but that the state shouldn't make a mother out of economic necessity leave the home. Is one option to consider paying mothers, because they are putting money into these creches, should that money not go directly to the mothers?
Well, I think there is a danger with putting a monetary value on everything, and you can't actually pay mothers or fathers, because nothing would pay you for getting up in the middle of the night and all of that, except your own desire to love your children. But if you subsidised people for what they actually want to do anyway, like, to me, it's much more democratic if you have a system where there is X amount allocated per child. We know how many children that we have of such an age, and if it's in the budget, that is given to the parents. And now there would have to be safeguards around that. Obviously, you would have to have, if they were going to spend it on childcare, the childcare would have to be regulated. Regulation doesn't solve everything. You know, one of the places that was featured in the recent primetime programme had been inspected and found to be cosy and homely 2 weeks beforehand. But if you had a voucher system of some kind where you could choose to put it towards the costs of staying at home or towards the cost of childcare, I think everybody would be happy, except it doesn't suit a market economy. It doesn't encourage women and men out of the home into the marketplace. And that's really what we're fighting with. That's the invisible enemy. We don't want to sound too dramatic about it, that we're fighting all the time, because it makes sense and everybody says, oh yeah, that's logical. But it doesn't actually fit with this kind of spend economy that we have.
Yeah.
People sometimes say, oh, they're greedy and they want this and they want that. I really don't think it is that. I think people want what's best for their children, and they're being told all the time what's best for their children is that, you know, that they have a certain amount of comfort and that they have holidays and they have whatever. And people devalue their own contribution. What kids want most is time with their parents, small kids particularly, and that time passes very fast. There's a time when they won't want your company, but it's absolutely crucial that they have it when they really need it. And I think that people devalue that. They don't see presence as important, and presence is terribly important.
Mm-hmm. Is the danger, though, that people have already made these choices and now perhaps it's just going to make watching programmes like Breach Trust it's just going to make them feel guilty, because there isn't much they can do now. They are stuck in those situations where they do need two incomes to pay the mortgage. You know, essentially, are we just making people feel guilty by talking about all these things?
I have huge sympathy for people who feel trapped and who feel that they have no other option except maybe a creche that they're not 100% sure of. But ultimately, it is their child. And if they have to take a half day's holidays and do their own unannounced inspection, that's what I would do if it were my child. Just drop in. And if they're not willing to let you see what's happening, then you have huge alarm bells going on. Because I think there are always options. And I mean, just even in our own situation, when we were deciding who would give up work, we always joke about the fact that we fought over it and Brendan won. But we were short a certain amount of money every week. And we basically took a leap of faith. We basically said, look, we'll do the right thing and the rest will follow. And it did. It wasn't easy and we didn't have a lot of the stuff that other people had. But we did have one parent with the kids. And I think that was worth making a sacrifice for. And, you know, guilt has a function. There's unnecessary guilt and there's unproductive guilt. And then there's guilt that nudges you and says, can I be doing something different? Because sometimes when you think you're trapped, you're not as trapped as you think you are. And that's, you know, sort of the guilt is kind of an impetus to say, well, is there anything else I can do? And then if you look at it and there isn't anything else you can do, you make the best of it. You know, and you do your very best in the situation. But we have this terrible thing about worrying about making people feel guilty. Sometimes there is such a thing as positive uses of guilt.